you guys remember Pat Green and Wave on Wave.
Yeah. Oh, right? That was a good song.
So I'm like, I'm going to rock out Wave on Wave. Wave on Wave is on the playlist that I woo these ladies at. So I'm like, all right, go out here, Wave on Wave. So they put me on stage. And again, I don't know. I'm not good. So I'm like, da 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 da. I was like, that's not good.
That didn't sound right.
Like, this is live.
This is live.
Okay.
I'm like,
are you sweating at this
point? Oh, dude. I'm like, hey, you know, let me start that over.
Reboot. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Steven.
I'm Graham.
Let me introduce the guest today real quick for this light, funny episode that we got lined up for you guys. So this is Steve, Scuba Steve, Brother Steve. I don't know what you want to call him. I just call him Steve. You'll remember this guy. You remember he wandered in the Shedio about episode 43 with his awkward self. So Steve's back to redeem his awkwardness today, and he's really filling his brother's seat. So Shane is Steve's brother.
Not going to be very difficult on that.
Yeah.
Part.
So the bar's not too high, he says. And then also, some of you may recognize this is Graham. So Graham is joining us today. Not only is he a Haydenite, he has moved to Huntsville, but he's still a Haydenite at heart. But he's the creator and host of the Fit Fat Dad podcast. So after you listen to this one, make sure you go listen to that one, especially if you're a dude or a dad. Man, they got a lot of great topics for us guys. So they're trying to help us out one show at a time.
Here we go.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that just from a aesthetic standpoint, I'm probably doing a lot better than your other counterpart that you have to do with. So,
well, that leads to a story.
The ratings will go up.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's illustrate your claim about aesthetics. So Steve and I, we're not proud of this, but it's part of our childhood. You know, when Steve first was getting in college, we used to go to the night places. It's just that time, of life, you know, college, going out at night. And Steve has always been a great dresser. And so a lot of times
you said Metro.
You look homeless today.
You said Metro at some point, which I was not a fan of.
I don't know, man. You were the guy that everybody wanted to be like, and I'm just saying, like,
then I was okay with Metro. Now looking back, I'm not okay with Metro.
It's a different term.
Yeah. So I've always been blue jeans and a shirt. If we were going out, that's what it would be. Blue jeans, nice shirt. We'd go out. Well, one night I come to pick Abercrombie model up here, Steve, at his house. So I pull up at his house, pick him up. He comes out of the house in some sort of nice Abercrombie jeans, faded out. They're perfectly in style. Some short. He's got on 5 shirts with a polo
collar
on top.
Collar
is popped. And then here's the thing. So here's why I'm telling the story. On top of all those things that are normal, he's wearing sweatbands. So I don't know if I thought we were going to play tennis. Here comes Andre Agassi out of the house with sweatbands like he's headed to the courts. And I'm making fun of him. I mean, I am giving him up the river about how ridiculous he looks. We go in the place, in our destination, and one girl after the next comes up to him and is talking to him. And at that moment, what did I learn? I learned that style is something I don't have.
Sweatbands.
Van, I was not interested in
any of those. That's exactly right. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah. But I learned that day that Steve has always had an element of style different than mine. But obviously, it spoke to some people.
You know, I saw a picture the other day. Did I send it to you? That said, I think I'm going to try to bring it back.
They're coming back.
You think my hair would be the same if I grew it out again?
I think you used to put so much product in that hair, but
you had to tame it.
Well, did he have the front tuck? That was always the big thing.
Absolutely. I still front tuck now. Do you not?
I do not front tuck. But there's a difference there. Like now I've got the dad belly going on, so the front tuck doesn't work as well.
Who was responsible for the front tuck?
Rip Bowens.
Hoover.
See, I always thought it was Gimp.
Was it Gimp?
I always thought it was Gimp. And I thought he started that worldwide. I thought it originated in Hayden, Alabama.
I think you're right. But you had the front tuck and then the Birkenstocks.
Birkenstocks.
What were the
cargo pants.
Like the covered Birkenstocks, not just the sandals.
Well, with socks or without?
Definitely. Oh, yeah. He was without. You were without.
I was without.
Because if you had socks with sandals growing up, that you would be plastered on the wall. That was the number one.
But those
thing
were
you
a closed toe.
Didn't matter, man.
You don't think so? Yeah. I think I wore socks because my feet sweat so bad. Well, you're talking about ruining a pair of Birkenstocks.
Well, speaking of feet, you remember, I would clear out
do you remember your Birkenstocks?
Yeah, man. Like, we'd be in class and be like, you always had the, shaky foot. You'd be like, you know, like you the nervous
wafting it out.
It was just, it was starting like, and I always knew because I'd go to class early in the day and it's, you know, you'd smell it. Is today going to be a bad day?
Yeah.
Right? Inevitably, you'd always start out positive, right? Like today,
yeah,
we're going to make it through today. You get about third period and you'd be like sitting there in that, this test you didn't study for. Steven, somehow you always sat in front of me and I was like, dude, I'm like, I don't know, man. Like this is,
I smell it too.
I'm really stressful.
Were so potent.
They were the worst.
I mean, but
Birkenstocks came back too. I don't know if they're still in today, but they made a comeback.
I think they're coming back, but what just from a, how well made they were. That should have eaten through those shoes. Well, that's what a good selling point for those.
Yeah. Like, it was like the bubonic plague was like trapped in that court sole. Mm-hmm. But then you would put that into like the Hayden High School football locker room. So you absorb those smells. Every bad smell you could absorb was in that Birkenstock. And it would come out in like Mr. Arnold's math class.
Speaking of locker room, do you remember ever washing your practice attire?
No, it would stand up in the locker by itself. That was a badge of honor. Do you
remember the pair of pants that we stood up in the corner by themselves, just stood them up? They had been, they were so dirty, they didn't stink anymore. They were just became stiff.
Did you ever wash your
gym? I only washed the girdle. I hate saying that, but that's the area, let's be clear. Those are the undergarment that held the thigh and hip pads. So that's what I'm calling a girdle, is that
compression
piece
short,
that every other football player was wearing. So let's just be clear. That's the only thing I washed, but it was that. Like that helped anything. The football pants were totally saturated with the same sweat the girdles was. Yeah. But that barrier gave me a little piece.
There was some gangrene in those girdles.
Well, looking back, being in the medical field, how we didn't get some...
Yeah, some sort of bacterial bad infection.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's so nasty.
Okay, let me just tell you, I did have one. You want to hear about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. My sophomore year, which is when we could play high school, because it was junior high, was 8th and 9th grade back then. So sophomore year, we go to the field house and, you know, we're getting the crappiest helmet because you're sophomores.
Yeah.
Go in the field house.
Falls over your eyes.
You have a huge cranium. So, I'm limited already. So there's only a few helmets that I can get. But one of them had a guard, not just the cotton thing, it had the actual like a plastic guard, and I was like, oh, that one looks awesome. And I know the guy who's no longer with us anymore who wore it the year before, and I thought it kind of looked cool too. So I get that. Did I think about Lysol in it, putting any sort of antibiotic, antibacterial or anything on it? No. First practice, and of course I didn't have chin hair, any facial hair back then, so it's going skin to skin. We have chin strap straight to skin. Wear it for the first day of practice, think nothing about it. When I woke up the next day, my chin was whiteheads. It was whiteheads from every piece that the thing was covered. And you know, back then, when you're in school, that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to go with whitehead face to school. And so I was just, I'm not going to go into graphic detail. I was trying to eliminate the whiteheads, but it didn't matter. When I got to school, everybody was like, dude, what's wrong with your chin? What's wrong with your chin?
How did you get there?
Well, that day was the first time I realized that bacteria was a real deal and bacteria causes effects on your face. And so but that was the worst thing. So
never thought about it back then.
Well, so, you know, the biggest question I get asked, like, what was the biggest difference between high school and college, right?
But tell everybody, they don't know about this.
Playing football. So I played college football at the Stanford University. If you watch March Madness, we got robbed.
Pull up his highlights.
We got robbed. We should have beat Kansas. Yeah, I include the highlight reel. It's not worth watching. But all those blocks. Nobody cares about our offensive linemen. But did we have a shower? In our,
it was never used.
I never saw it filled with equipment. Right.
That's exactly right.
I never knew we had a shower. So shower wasn't a thing, right?
Yeah.
So you do your practice or whatever, and you just change. You smelled terrible.
Absolutely.
But you didn't care. Think of it. We didn't wash our gear. We didn't wash anything. So like day one of college football, we get done with practice. I just remember one of the upperclassmen, he comes over there and he's in his towel, like foot up on the bench, like full frontal, like things you don't want to see.
Captain Morgan.
It's like, hey, are you not going to shower? I was like, hold up. We have to do this now? Like, this is a
thing. When I get home.
That was, to me, that was the biggest freshman induction of, oh, we've got a shower. And at least we had, like,
hygiene.
There was space between the shower heads, right? There's probably 4 feet between each shower head. So that was cool. Like, that, it took a little bit, but then after that, you got used
no
to
barrier?
It.
No barrier?
No barrier.
I mean, we're just talking about
community shower.
Oh, boy. But when we would go on
road trips, like the visiting locker room, and you had to shower on a visiting. There was no way you were going to load the bus, load the plane, whatever, back, unshowered.
Smelling like you used to smell.
But the visitors, and I think they do this on this, you know, purpose, right? Like, you would have one pole with 8 shower heads on it. And so everybody's
standing shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder to shoulder. So that, to me, was one of the hardest adaptations of things. But talk about hygiene. I mean, that was a wake-up call. I mean, and then after that, you just get used to it and you have zero care. Like, and then you're on the other spectrum of when you get out and then you go to the YMCA and you're sitting in the hot tub just like an old 90-year-old man. You don't care. That's weird now, like, because you're 20 years old.
You just painted a mafia scene for me.
It's the truth. We went full circle on that one.
With all the chest hair and the gold chain.
It's just, hey, yeah. So
let me ask you this. Going back to high school, our unused equipment storage shower, did you go to homecoming, which was at that time right after the football game?
Yes.
At the gym. Did you go to homecoming unshowered?
Yes.
Oh. There's probably a 90% chance of yes.
Mine's 100%. I absolutely took off the football pads, put on the blue jeans, shirt, straight to homecoming. Today is so different.
Is it?
Oh, it's a production. Homecoming and all these events in high school is a huge deal. I'm talking about thought through everything you're going to wear, pictures beforehand.
That's what they do, the presentation about how you ask them.
You have to, you can't just go up to your date, your potential date, and say, hey, you want to go to homecoming this week? It's some sort of a special poster, storybook kind of princess and prince kind of deal. It's just different. I mean, you're talking about, that's only been 24 years ago. I know that sounds kind of bad when I said that. Sounded worse when I said it, but
well, you reminded me of a special homecoming story that I didn't think of prior to coming in here. Did you take theater arts? Is theater arts still a thing now?
Right. I don't know if it's
maybe
a thing,
me and you were still in the same class, but I remember at this time, theater arts. Did you ever take that? I think you were in a play. No, this sounds like a
I don't know. There. I don't remember.
So theater arts was like a, you would practice and then you would do a play at the end of the year, but the play really didn't happen until spring. So you had to fill your time with fall. So there's usually like a musical performance or something. It was a class really that we took as an easy A, right? Like it's an elective.
Receiver, I think.
Yeah. And so love her to death, but I think Titanic came out and it was Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On, right? Yeah. So there was all these like things that we would practice and there was like motions of like this and all these like dances. Well, she's like, we are going to do this at homecoming during the halftime show. Mm-mm. I was like, well, this is great. I play football. You were probably in there. We play. Not going to have to participate. She's like, oh, you will participate. I was like,
On the field.
How is this possible? I'm going through the logistics in my head. How is this possible?
How am I going to know what to do at halftime?
I'm going to be in full gear and I'm going to go out on the field. Is that what? Dude. Surely you're mistaken. Oh, Graham Lemon, you will be out there on the field and you'll be at the 50-yard line. So I immediately took that. I could just see it now. A week long of prep, playing your, I don't know who we played at halftime, but rival, crosstown rival. You put them to it for a half, and then you got to go out there and you're doing hand signals of
really intimidating.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus. We didn't grow up in the time of social media. So I remember begging. I don't know who the coach was at the time, but just like, coach, this cannot happen. Like, this literally cannot happen. You cannot put me out on the field in full pads. Oh, don't worry about it, Graham. We got it covered. And so I think up until that week, we had it covered. Not going to do it. Just so happens to be, and we didn't have a great football team. I think 4 wins to us was like national championship. We were glad to take it. Just so happens to be, we were up 28 points or something at halftime.
Nice.
And it was one of these things, heading to the locker room, I felt good about myself. Like, hey, go team.
I've escaped the halftime routine.
It's like, hey, Because we're doing so well, you're going to go out there.
Your punishment for doing playing.
Here
great.
I go jogging out in full pads. Forming Celine Dion.
Did you pull it off?
I don't know, man.
Where was I during this?
You may have not been in the thing, but that
I remember taking theory.
I know you were wearing sweatbands.
You were wearing sweatbands. You were looking good. But can you imagine that? Like that's
no
things you look back on.
I don't.
I'm glad that didn't make my like college highlight reel of me performing Celine Dion.
The biggest takeaway.
I would have got more offers.
Biggest takeaway that I've got from that is the fact that we didn't have to deal with social media.
Hallelujah.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
So we were at, again, back to football, we were at fall camp. And I think this was probably my junior year. This is a story I've never lived down. They still talk about it to this day. And I don't know why, but they were like, we need people to perform at this talent show. And so for 28 days, all you've seen is just your teammate.
At Sanford.
Okay. All you've seen is just a teammate. It's a grown man. Like you've not seen a woman in forever. You haven't. I mean, the heaviest trainer in the world starts to look like a supermodel.
You're at boot
camp.
This point.
Yeah, you're at boot camp. So we go into the theater, still all dudes. And they're like, well, Graham, you got 48 hours to put something together. I'm like, whoa. All right. Well, you guys remember Pat Green and Wave on Wave.
Yeah. Oh, right? That was a good song.
So I'm like, I'm going to rock out Wave on Wave. Wave on Wave is on the playlist that I woo these ladies in. So I'm like, all right, go out here, Wave on Wave. So they put me on stage. And again, I don't know. I'm not good. So I'm like, da 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 da. I was like, that's not good.
That didn't sound right.
Like, this is live.
This is live.
Okay.
I'm like,
are you sweating at this
point? Oh, dude. I'm like, hey, let me start that over.
Reboot.
Da 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 da.
Oh. Yeah, had you practiced?
Could you play the guitar?
Well, that, all things people are saying in the state. And at this point, everybody's like, get him off stage. I'm like, all right, I got it. I was like, Malapama got Notre Dame. We're all playing the same game.
How many people are there?
Dude, there's probably, this is the team. So it's probably 75. Oh, okay. Probably 75, and then you got keys to. It was the most gut-wrenching performance I've ever done.
Why didn't you go Church of Christ and just let you know what we're going to do?
Everybody like, hey.
I would have left and never come back.
Hey, so to this day, no matter what I accomplish, right? You will, if you like, go check out my Facebook page. Every year, there's somebody that's going to drop in, like Pat Green, Wave on Wave.
Oh, that's great!
But it was like, speaking of talent shows, like that was the lack of talent show that performed for that.
In your life, there's probably you're good. You're never going to face a more awkward situation.
That was
is that the most embarrassing?
That was up there. Yeah.
If it's not number one, it's top three.
Oh, man. Yeah. And there was video of it. So it came, we did another senior talent show. And
do you have this?
Is this on YouTube? Well, can I link this?
Oh, man. There's a guy out there I know who has video, and it will probably resurface.
Oh,
because he made it during our senior talent show. He made this whole video, and that was the end of it. And everybody just stood up. Like,
oh, that is
and he had like quick zoom cuts of me and my awkwardness. Like,
did you make it to the end of the song though? Did you go? Oh, all
I gutted
3 minutes?
It out. You I gutted it this out. It. Yeah, we're all playing the same game. And I blamed it because. Right at the end, they were like, the key here is like, I was going in with my acoustic and I didn't have an amp. And the guy's like, here, you just play my electric guitar. So I blamed it on the guitar. It was not the guitar.
Yeah, I'm not used to this guitar.
It's just not my guitar.
The strings are different.
Can you imagine that?
That is horrible.
Yeah.
If you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work. So clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
You know, as you make it as a senior in high school, you get these cool like titles as PE aide, which was like a coveted title. Yeah, if you were PE aide, that mean that you had to do something right. Like you were the dude.
Mm-hmm. That was the free passage, just roam.
That was like you were king. Yeah. Homecoming king didn't make anything to PE aide.
No,
PE aide was the real jams there.
You were president.
Yeah. And senior year, we're getting there towards the end. And we had a great deer officer, great guy. I think he's still around here, but
was it Pat?
It was Pat, Pat, Officer Pat. And he was just a terrific guy. And, I guess all of a sudden I was sitting there on top of the stage.
I remember this because we were
king of my castle.
He recruited me to be in on.
Oh, you were things I did not know.
Because we had to identify your car, make sure. Yes, and I was. Yeah,
that was so. Let me set the stage in the gym, elevated stage. I'm on stage looking over my kingdom. Like these kids, right. These seventh and eighth graders,
these peasants,
yeah. As in, look at me.
Yeah.
I am, you can be this too at one day.
Yeah.
And he comes Caesar. In there, and there's probably, I don't know how many classes came in. There's probably 100 kids in there. This is a pretty good crowd. He comes in, Graham, going to need you to step outside the gym here. As you know, the drug dog has been around and he's kind of acting a little funny around your car. I've got nothing to hide. I was a good kid. I was like, man,
it's not my car.
You know, I think maybe I said it was spring. Maybe it was still football season. I don't know. But I was like, I probably got some leave in there. Right. Mm-hmm. Like the dog's probably going on a leave, right, of headache medicine. So I go out there, drive an old 1991 Buick Century. Velveteen is what we call it.
A lot of memories in Velveteen.
Anyways, German Shepherd's around the car and it's sniffing. You know, I'm like, this is whatever. They get around the gas can. I don't know how they did it, but they would throw like a tennis ball and the dog would chase the tennis ball. And then when it hits something that the dog would react to, anyways, it hits the gas tank. The dog's like,
he locked on.
He's just scratching my car.
Not a big deal.
I'm like, hey, he's reacting.
It's a 91.
He's reacting pretty strong to that.
I was like, man. That'll leave. Wow. I guess it does. It really does work. That's why I get sort of headaches. Yeah. Anyways, he opens the gas can. It's this huge bag of pot.
Whoa.
Huge. I'm like, first off, how did he get in there? I was like, whoa, the panic.
That's not mine.
All the kids.
You know how many times I've heard that, son? That's not mine.
Yeah, all the kids.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
Tell that to everybody else. All the kids are out on the front step, my peasants now. And they're all like we don't want to be that guy.
Now he's really cool.
Yeah, he pulls it out. He throws me on the car, right? And I'm like, just like, oh, man. Like, and I think the whole school is out here. And here comes the principal. I think it was Parker, right? And he's out there and he's like, you know, you're supposed to set an example. And now we got to haul you away in a police car. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just,
how did this get so escalated poorly. Pretty quickly.
It got really bad really quickly. Yeah. And all I can think about is my dad. Just, I could see my dad's face. Just,
yeah. You know what, Sam?
You know what? I mean, that's all I could see. But it got out of hand really fast. Like, I'm my future is done at this point. He's like, you got punked!
Oh.
Like, that's where I was at. It just, that was.
Didn't he?
But I didn't know you were in on it.
Yeah, all this time. I knew.
You knew before.
Yeah, I knew before.
You knew it was going to happen.
Knew it was going to happen, but I didn't know it was going to be like. The production that it turned into.
It was legit.
Because he committed to it. Like,
he was in on it. He was in on it. And had he not put me on another prank, which
didn't
I shared.
Didn't he, after this took place, didn't he, since lose you, his you job. Were good after this, he yes. took us to your dad's house.
In the back of the
car. In the back
car.
Of the car. It was me and you and maybe Face or, but had us handcuffed in the back of the car.
Yeah. And I thought that was a good idea. After this had already experienced this, I thought, why not just double hop in the
down.
Back?
Why not just
let's double down. Yeah,
like,
because, you know.
What's better than one joke? Two jokes.
Yeah, two jokes.
Yeah.
That's really going to. Why would I do that to myself?
My Hold up to your dad's house, and your mom and dad come outside the boy, and he approaches. And we're still back in the back just giggling. This is going to be so funny. And then I think as he tells your dad the.
You could see it. It was like.
Look. Yeah, and just
I'm like, stare. Abort.
He
abort.
Yeah,
this is bad.
Jokes
Maybe
over.
This was
not Jokes
a,
over.
You can't get out of the cop car. Like, oh gosh!
And you're handcuffed. On
I remember seeing Officer Pat. He looks back and he's like, "I'm sorry."
Yeah,
like, maybe this was not. This is 0-2.
Wow.
That was rough.
So
why would we ever do that?
You know what's better than one bad idea?
Double down.
Two bad ideas. Yeah. Well, Steve, I want to tie it up with. Just something that'll tell everybody about you. So you remember the time that you tried to become Eminem? Let's just let's just have this as a mint as we sign this thing up. Tell me, take me back. So you're what, 20?
21.
21 years old. I had just gotten married.
In the
gym.
You
were still in the scene.
We were working out.
Single, working out, all the things.
This is at the same time where you had just got married.
Right.
And I come to spend the night at your house.
Yeah.
I always wanted to have, I mean, I had blonde hair.
Yeah, it's still blonde. You can look at it.
Well, it's a little more brown now or darker, but I don't know what possessed me at that, but Adam Hicks was around at this time. We were working out. He had dyed his hair at one time. We were fixing to go to the beach for Jake's wedding. And he said, let's dye your hair. And I said,
baby, who said, let's dye your hair?
Me and Adam.
Adam, okay.
And I said, okay. Or maybe I said, hey, I want to dye my hair. And he said, I'll help you or something of that. So I just thought you dyed your hair.
Go to Walmart.
Bleach blonde.
Get the box.
And it's like blonde. And
it's beautiful.
It's it. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's beautiful. You get girls and everybody loves it. And yep. So we get to my house. And I lived by myself at this point. And we put it in. And I just put it all over. Leave it in for the allotted time. I don't know what the allotted time is. Maybe an hour, maybe 45 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. I don't know. Well, pull the cap off, wash it out, and it's just as blonde. And I was like, man, this is awesome. This is awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, I'm going to get so many girls. Everybody's going to think I'm cool.
Oh, yeah.
I pulled it off. Go to bed. Apparently, when you have certain hair color types, like when you have blonde, there is a reddish gene somewhere in your genetic makeup that when dye comes in contact with red hair, it turns orange or yellow. So when I went to bed, it looked like that piece of paper.
Platinum is looking good.
It looked good.
Mm-hmm.
When I woke up and looked in the mirror,
it was
panic
not.
Sets in.
What did you see?
I don't know at this point. I mean, it
no,
was,
when you're in the mirror, just talk me through it. You get up, you go to the bathroom.
This golden orange, just
hideous
color that it was not how I went to bed.
So you go to bed thinking about how all the girls are going to love it. What are you thinking?
Because we're leaving
now?
For the beach
that day,
that morning. And I'm just thinking about what a good time on how good I'm gonna look. Yeah. And so on the way, like when I wake up, and it's not that way anymore. And I'm committed to the trip, and there's nothing you can do about it at this point. So we're rolling and have to endure the whole beach trip looking like I don't know.
Yeah, because you had the curls, it was long and curly and gel.
It was worse than Carrot Top.
You had the like Superman curl in the front,
it was,
too.
You had the good hair. There ain't no doubt about it. You look like Dierks Bentley. If that's if you want a picture
Dierks
of
Bentley's
what
hair, but not the color. But anyway, so endured the whole trip. You had to take, I mean, it was not in the wedding, but like we were like, or did we just go? All I know is we had to take pictures.
It was a beach wedding, yeah.
Yeah.
There was appearances in the photos.
I was in public. And had hair that I still don't know to this day. It was so bad that your wife, like after a few days, like, and here it is. I said, okay, I'm going to fix this. After we got back from bleach, I said, I'm going to fix this.
You've endured the torture.
I went and got another bottle of bleach.
Oh, just double down.
And said, I'm going to make it
Why not?
Blonde.
It's going to be
blonde. It's going to be blonde.
Yeah.
Did it again. Turned it blonde. Woke up next morning, orange again. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I don't think you're supposed to do this more than once like your hair is like.
Yeah, because it's chemicals.
So then I went to Lindsay Horton. She did hair. And I said, you've got to fix my hair. And so she pulled out the legit women's platinum. And I looked like Cisco. You remember Cisco from.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
And it did turn it white then. And I think I walked into your door, and that's when Bethany's mouth fell open.
Oh,
I was like,
it looked horrible.
We've got to do something. So I'm on third.
This will be number four.
Three, yeah.
This is number four.
She said, I'm going to fix your hair. and went to a Dollar General or the Walmart, whatever, and bought brown hair dye. So we're on round four of dyeing my hair. How it didn't fall out or how my scalp didn't catch on fire, I don't know. But to this day, I'm thankful that she pulled it off, that I didn't have to endure that hair anymore.
Your next step was shaving it.
Yeah.
But she pulled it off. I mean, it made it look tolerable.
Well, the question that's begging to be asked, have you dyed your hair since then?
No. Lesson learned.
Well, now it's turning gray, so.
It's got natural highlights.
Yeah. But no, I didn't touch my hair for that point.
It's so funny how we feel like that we got to do these modifications to.
Well, I mean, look, back in the day, Justin Timberlake, I mean, he dyed, had the frosted tips.
Yeah.
And he had the look. You know?
He had the look.
You had the look.
And I was like, man, this is.
You were just thinking, look, I've already got the Abercrombie jeans. I've got the front tuck.
I have the sweatbands.
I've got to finish it.
I've got so much product in my hair.
I just need
one more thing, and that's going to be irresistible.
Top it off.
Like, they're all going to be flocking.
I mean, I'm going to have to turn them away.
Turn them. Take a baseball bat with you everywhere you go. Golly. Well, fellas, we've talked. I think what I've seen today, listen back, is stories of bad ideas. From hair dye to buying dip for underage people. But it's been a lot of fun. So Graham here, I mentioned that he's the creator of the Fit Fat Dad podcast, and I want you to check them out. Give them a reason to come over there and see you on YouTube, Spotify, Apple.
Because it's awesome.
And you get to look at him.
But really what we try to do is we know that men, like, I won't say struggle, but there's all these things that go through our head.
We are the example of struggle. Yeah. What are you talking about?
And so we've
set the bar.
We try to bring that into a lighthearted phase. And we ask questions that men think about, whether it's, should a man be able to bench press a certain amount, or should a man eat certain foods, or should a man be this type of parent? We try to bring that out in a lighthearted way. We just really encourage you to come over and check it out. It's a good show. We tell a lot of stories too.
Can I ask you this, and maybe you can tie this into your podcast. I asked Vanna the other day about leggings. What did women wear before leggings? Like, what was, and so then my question was, should men ever wear leggings?
Dude, is he not speaking? He's speaking into you right now.
Negative.
Hey, do you ever think that would be a socially accepted?
No.
You don't think so?
So here we go. We have an episode that, should a man look at a woman in yoga pants, right? Like, that's something that, and it's an absolutely clean episode. To your question, no, in my opinion, a man should never wear.
Can you imagine
leggings?
If you just go into Walmart?
And
you see men in leggings, what the sight would be that you would have to endure.
Now, wait a minute. Let's just real quick. So we're talking about Alabama. We don't see a lot of men in leggings, but that may not be the case across the country.
That is true.
Well, it's been a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys coming on the show.
Absolutely.
Graham made the drive all the way from Huntsville this morning. So we're
trying to get him back. Honored to the Hayden area.
Yeah.
He left one of the smallest cities in the state for the largest now city in the state of Alabama.
He got too big for us, but we're trying to get him
Rocket City.
Negative. Diverted through Birmingham, back through Hayden, back to Huntsville.
And so, Steve just had to, he just had to hitchhike.
Yeah.
He just walked off here from crossing the road.
You never know. I may come back.
You just never know when you're the stumble in here. Well, I appreciate y'all being on here. This is Hayden, Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Steven.
I'm Graham.
We'll see you next time.